Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Friday marks the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Riots, a violent clash between the LGBTQ community and police in New York City. It's considered a turning point in the fight for equality. As a result, June's been chosen as LGBTQ Pride Month. In recognition of Pride Month, you've probably seen companies that have embraced Pride symbols. AT&T, Comcast, Home Depot are a couple of examples. But does this really represent a message of support, or is it just kind of a commodification of Pride Month? For more, we turn now to Evan Greer. She's a writer, musician, and a transgender queer activist based here in Boston. Evan, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks so much for having me on.
So I want to start with a quick clip, actually, from a great video you did for the Washington Post about attending Pride celebrations here in Boston.
Sure.
The fact that corporations are out here during Pride Month marketing to queer people and trans people, that's not wholly a bad thing. That is a symbol of our growing economic and political power. And then the question becomes, what do we do with that power?
Evan, some people would say these companies are just pandering to the LGBTQ community. And so why do you feel like it's actually a good thing to see a corporate presence at Pride events?
Well, so, I mean, there was sort of a second part to that clip that's maybe the most important part. And the question is, you know, when I ask, what do we do with that power? Do we want to be accepted and assimilated into an economy, into a system that's fundamentally unjust, that's fundamentally based on exploitation and oppression of our community's most vulnerable members? Or do we want to actually fight for a better society, a better system, and one that takes care of everyone?
It sounds like you're advocating for the latter.
I think I would be advocating for the latter. And I suppose, you know, again, corporations are going to do what corporations are going to do. The fact
we just had that conversation right a second ago about Wayfair.
Exactly. And so I think, again, the way that these corporations are behaving is a reflection of our kind of the ground that our movement has gained. But what I think is really important to recognize is that the people who sacrificed, who fought the hardest for our right to have this party in June, for those advances, are still suffering, are still the members of our community that are being left the furthest behind, and still the members of our community who are actually harmed the most by those corporations' other policies. So you can't just slap a rainbow flag on your brand if you're not paying your workers a living wage, if you're supplying furniture to detention camps, for example. So I think those are, you know, things that we need to look at. It's not just about corporations profiting off of queer struggle. It's also about corporations not really representing the values that the LGBTQ liberation movement was founded on, which was resisting police violence, resisting economic injustice, racism, sexism, structural oppressions in our society that can't be dismantled just by waving a flag.
So, Evan, to that point about resistance, and you used the term resistance just now, and a little bit ago you talked about it also being a party. In New York City, the site of the Stonewall riots, the Pride celebrations are set for this weekend, but there's a counter demonstration planned as well. Bill Dobbs of the Reclaim Pride Coalition, which is the group planning this counter march, says the official Pride march no longer speaks to LGBTQ values. He says, quote, "This is a clash of values. Their march stands for corporate pride and the status quo. Our stands for change," end quote. You've said you really value Pride events. So what do you make of his sentiments?
I mean, I totally echo and support his sentiments and the counter protest. Again, I think, you know, I love a good party. I organize Break the Chains, which is one of Boston's more popular monthly LGBTQ dance parties. I think it's really important that our community has moments to come together and celebrate and enjoy being queer. But if Pride is only a party and not also a protest, then we're betraying the legacy of the people that began that fight at Stonewall and before. You know, we often think of queer history as beginning at Stonewall, and of course it didn't. We've always been here. We've always been fighting back against, you know, structural oppression, against rigid gender roles, against these things that box us in and hold us down. And so what I would like to see is Pride festivals to reconnect with those roots and put some things back on the agenda, like resisting police brutality, like decriminalizing sex work. Those are things that should be shouted from the stage at Pride festivals, not just let's get married and join the military.
So, Evan, around these concerns about what's on the agenda, the Human Rights Campaign, an organization dedicated to LGBTQ rights, recently found that 9 of the biggest corporations supporters of LGBTQ rights, according to its own Corporate Equality Index, also donated at least $1 million in the last election cycle to politicians that received a score of 0 on its congressional scorecard, meaning that they voted to deny health care to trans troops, didn't sponsor or co-sponsor legislation in support of LGBTQ rights. In fact, the companies I mentioned in the lead of this segment were 3 of those: AT&T, Comcast, Home Depot. How do you square that? And should that sort of information be part of how and where everyone decides to spend their money?
You know, I think it absolutely should be. And again, we can't look at these things through a single issue lens. LGBT folks are also human. We need to have a livable planet. We need to have health care. We need to not be bombed, by the U.S. military. So if your corporation is supporting those things or undermining those basic rights that people need, then you're not really an ally to the LGBTQ community, no matter how much money you give to pro-queer politicians or organizations. We need actual corporate responsibility and accountability. And I think in the end, we need to make this less about them. It's interesting to me, ever since doing this Washington Post video and speaking out on this, I get asked by a lot of people like, oh, well, which corporations are doing the right job? And I'd rather not talk about them. I think we should be talking about organizations like the Audre Lorde Project, like the Trans Law Center, like the Sylvia Rivera Law Project, who are actually out there on the ground fighting for the most vulnerable members of our community. And I'd love to have more conversations about what they're doing rather than what AT&T is doing.
So you said, we've got to make it not about them. One of the more complicated moments in the last couple of weeks is Taylor Swift's new music video for her song, You Need to Calm Down. You are somebody that we don't know, but you're coming at my friends like a missile. Why are you mad when you could be glad? Evan, the video's full of LGBTQ celebrities. There's Ellen DeGeneres, RuPaul, the cast of Queer Eye. It ends with an on-screen message directing people to a change.org petition supporting the Equality Act. But Swift has long been known as a pop star who's been mostly apolitical. She said she didn't feel comfortable making political statements until she reached her 30s. What do you make of the video? Was that exploitation? Was that Taylor Swift making it about Taylor Swift, or was it a positive message that's helpful?
I should have known I was going to get ambushed with the Taylor Swift question, the most controversial.
Well, then is it an ambush if you knew?
I feel the same way about that video as I do, again, about corporations sort of pandering to us during Pride. It is a reflection, we can't pretend that it doesn't mean something. And, however you feel about the video, I think it's more important to look at it as a mirror of our society. And the fact that Taylor Swift felt like she could get away with that, basically, mm-hmm. or that it was, going to be well received, the same way that the fact that Budweiser thinks that they can make money by selling trans pride flagged branded beer mugs, that means something. Now, again, those corporations,
meaning
those brands,
it's some level of progress, but ..
It's
Is that
progress,
what you're saying?
But again, it's the people who've actually sacrificed and done the work to make that progress are the members of our community that are still essentially being, falling further and further behind as the most privileged members of our community make those advances, can be assimilated into the mainstream economy and can benefit from all of those things, while sex workers, low-income people, HIV-positive folks, people of color. We just had more than 20 trans women murdered last year. A trans woman just lost her life in Rikers Island. The same exact conditions that led people out into the streets during the Compton cafeteria riots and the Stonewall uprising are still happening today. And for the most marginalized members of our community, it really hasn't improved much in the last 50 years.
So, Evan, listening to you, it's likely that we've got some listeners who are developing a really strong sense of urgency. You're citing a lot of remaining needs. Very briefly, what is the next step for folks who do want to support the LGBT community in a way that is not about them, but about the community?
I mean, I think first and foremost, if you're out there and you want to support, financial support obviously makes a huge difference. And I really encourage folks to give their support to small organizations, local organizations,
small and local,
that are led by people of color, that are led by people who are HIV positive, that are led by people who are on the front lines, who understand most intimately the needs of people in our community who are being furthest left behind. And I think also, again, looking at policies that impact people, it's not just about marriage. It's not just about joining the military. It's also about healthcare. It's also about the environment. It's also about immigration. It's also about racial justice and criminal justice. If we're not tackling those things, we're not really fighting for queer liberation.
That is Evan Greer, writer, musician, and transgender queer activist. Thanks so much for coming in, Evan.
Thanks for having me.
Listeners, Radio Boston did a special hour on the fight for LGBTQ rights in advance of the Stonewall 50th. You can find a link to it at our website, radioboston.org. That's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR. I'm Tiziana Deering. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.